what you're listening to.
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We are getting down to the nitty-gritty of the track and field season. Only a couple of meets remaining, I believe four if we count region and state. The Carbon Dinos, they were back at it this past Saturday, competing in the Eastern Utah Championship, which took place at Union. We're going to talk about that and more right now. Joining us over the phone, we have Coach Jimmy Jukes. Coach, always great to get you on. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Jordan, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always fun to chat with you, Coach. Even the conversation sometimes off the cuff are even more fun than on the air. And I know that one of the topics of conversation you and I were just discussing a moment ago, the weather this weekend. And track and field, you guys kind of had a dead time as far as competitions are concerned. And you would think, okay, we get to the end of April, early May, weather's going to cooperate. It was the complete opposite this weekend.
It was monsoon season with a chance of hailstones hitting you on the track this weekend, and at times it would kind of stop, and we'd have some good moments, and then it would just come downpour again, and our kids definitely got super super wet.
As far as those elements are concerned, I'm sure it prepares you, because we don't know what it's going to be like come May 20th and 21st. I'd like to think that it's beautiful weather, but there's no guarantee, Coach. So, I mean, from your perspective, and we'll talk about the final results in a moment, you guys finished second for both the boys and the girls, but when you look at how the kids had to fight through the elements, is that a success in itself?
Oh, it 100% is. I mean, we got to see a little bit about the resiliency of the team. We had all kinds of things happen with weather. We had our 4x1 out there, our girls 4x1. They're standing out there just getting drenched. It's raining as hard as you can imagine. And the start sensor messes up. They run almost 100 meters into that race before they call it back. They got to stand out there, do it again a second time, have to call it back. They're out there for 20 minutes in shorts and tank tops in rain and 40-degree weather. And we pull them off, and then, you know, you think a lot of, I mean, other schools had kids that just were like, we're done, we're not doing this. Our kids came back out after a little bit of a delay and just ran well. And they competed hard, and they learned a lot about themselves, and it'll be something they'll always remember.
Well, we'll start by talking about the boys today, Coach, because you had a lot of first-place finishes, I believe six, if I'm not mistaken, in general. And so, obviously, a lot of depth scoring. You score 134 points, but plenty to take away from it with that many first-place finishes.
Yeah, you know, that our boys' team is just continually getting better. It's, you know, it's really anchored on that throw side. You look at Bradley Wood and that group over there, and you have Bowden Robinson and Carson Shepherd threw great this weekend. Those guys on the throw side do a lot of really, really good things for us and kind of get that team going. And then on the jump side, you know, we got Will Carmichael's really come on with a long jump. He jumped really well this weekend. Traxton Jukes, my boy, he wins the high jump again. He's now beat every 3A kid that is ranked in the top in the state head-to-head, which is a huge confidence builder for him. And, you know, you just kind of go through that and you see what we're doing in the field side of things. And then on the sprint side of things, our sprinters are fighting on the 4x1. They ran well. We've got a lot of talent. Our distance kids, I mean, I can't say enough about Kobe Cruz's effort this week. He was throwing up he threw up quite a bit right before he ran. Ends up running three events. He's sicker than a dog and just fighting through it, and just got a bug of some kind and didn't ever try to get out of a race. He knew we were trying to go after a team win and stuck it in there. And Braxton Ware has been running with a bad leg. And, I mean, these kids fought hard this weekend.
Yeah, and Coach, we have to mention the 4x100 team as well. Mason Vasquez, Nathan Hobbs, Will Carmichael, Ashton Ferguson, they did a terrific job and took home a top finish as well.
They did. And the thing that they did that I was super, super impressed with them is they came out after the weather incident with all the craziness, came out, Nathan Hobbs and Sopin let it come out, they run that race, and they are just pumped. And because of their excitement, it kind of fed into the rest of the team, girls and boys, because they were so excited about what they've done. And it's funny, you know, you get those momentum builders, you see it in basketball, you see it in baseball, you see it in football, you get it in track too. And if you have that was one of those momentum building things that we needed at the time. We could have just folded and called it a day, but those kids were motivated and pushed us in a good direction.
Again, our guest right now, Coach Jim Jukes of the Carbon Dino Track and Field Squad. Coach, let's flip over to the girls. You guys finished in second place over here by 11 points. I know you were down a couple of key contributors. That's a true testament to just how deep this team is, because a lot of competition, Uinta, Union, and Carbon all finishing in the top three, and you guys were right there despite missing some key contributors.
Yeah, you know, we knew going in we were going to have to be a full team, because Union's one of the top 3A teams in the state. Uinta's one of the top 4A teams right now on that girls' side. And going in, we knew it was going to be a battle. We thought we would have a shot if we could just have the right things happen. And the girls fought really hard for us and ran well. And, you know, the weather impacted a few things. The high jump on girls' high jump, it was during that crazy downpour. And so Haley and Cora Cook from Uinta end up tying for first, because they both, I don't know if you've ever tried to high jump in a hailstorm. It doesn't work. they both tried. They both tried at 5 feet. It started coming down at 5 feet. I'll tell you what, they both gave it an effort. But, I mean, both these girls are 5'2", 5'4", high jumpers, but only went 4'10", because, yeah, they were up against it. It was kind of funny to watch. But Mariah Salee, I mean, dude, that girl came out through shot put. We knew we had to have her up in there. PR through a 30-foot shot put. She scored in all three of the throws. Timber Bennett's been on point for us in the throws. You know, on the sprints, you got Emily ran a great hurdle race, a great 100. Lindy Maurer ran a great 100-meter for us. She was in that 4x1 that ran really well. But Beverly Lancaster's been trying to come over a sickness. She ran her guts out for us. Lindsay Fawcett, that girl had the meat of meat. She did the really hard stuff, which is the 16, 32, 8, and the 4x4 at the end. She ran a 32. PR's in it. And when I mean PR, for people that are listening, it's a personal record. Gets a personal record there. Then she turns around in the 4x4 and puts down a 106 on the 400. And for anybody that's ever ran, running a 2 mile and then turning around about 5 minutes later and have to run a 400 on the track, that is a tough thing to do. And she did it amazingly well.
Coach, and when you look at the progress the girls have made, we just talked about the boys, but the girls got off to such a hot start, and I think if you just look at the scores, taking second place here and there throughout the last couple of meets, maybe you would think there's some digression. I know there's so many variables to consider. So in comparison to the boys, is it more difficult at this stage for the girls to progress and get better based off of where they are at maybe 3-4 weeks ago? I know that question's a little discombobulated, but I hope you understand. Just based on where the girls were, is it more difficult to see progress?
Yeah, I think so, because the girls started off so hot. We were way ahead of the curve with the girls. And when you're that far ahead of the curve, the amount of progress that they can do throughout the year it's not as big and incremental. You know, and so they were getting good, but the other girls' teams in the state have gotten better. And they've gotten better at a increment that's kind of caught up to us. They've had more girls come out. I think you see a lot of girls that start to come on at certain times. Like we just talked about Lindsay Fawcett coming on big for us. Other schools have athletes like that come on big for them. Union's got a little distance girl that's a freshman that's come on, and they got another freshman right with her that's just as good that's come on. And so sometimes getting those kids to get better at the right time, it's going to be a dogfight at the end of the year on the girls' side. It's anybody's game. I mean, a lot of scenarios could play out. We could go into region and win a region title and then lose to Canyon View in our own region at state, or vice versa. We could go lose a region, turn around and go beat Canyon View at state. It's just, it's crazy. But when you look at the boys' side, our boys, we had a lot of youth and a lot of growing to do, and those kids have really pushed hard and come on really strong for us and gotten a lot better. And so I think that's where they've really kind of rose up to where they're just as powerful and just as good as the girls' team is.
Coach, correct me if I'm wrong. We got 4 meets remaining, right? We got to go to Cedar. That's coming up this weekend. BYU next weekend. And then after that, it's region and state, correct?
Yeah, we have 4 meets left. We did change on the schedule. Our Cedar meet, we're going to go over to Delta instead. So we can go see some 3A competition over there. Delta's got one of the best boys teams in the state of Utah, especially in 3A, and we want to go and see if our boys can scare them like they did over at JUAB. And our girls need to see the Delta girls, because the Delta girls are really good too right now. And so it's going to give us a chance to kind of go over and see what they've got. We're going to kind of take a different approach this week and go into we've got to narrow our team down to top 4 for region. And so we got to figure out, we got a lot of kids vying for spots to compete at region, and we're going to hopefully give them the best opportunity to put down the best times they can. That's the one thing I love about track is a lot of times, you know, coaches can make judgment calls, but in track, it's easy when you see a time, you say, whoop, you ran faster than this kid at this point, and this is where we're at. And so it's really good for the kids to have those opportunities to go and prove themselves a little bit. And some of these kids, it might be their last meet. They run in this year, but they're developing for next year, and we get there.
Yeah. So at this stage, Coach, do you still hide some things? And I know there's so much strategy that goes into it at the beginning of the year. You don't want to showcase too much. But now that we get down to the final three meets before we go into state, do you still hide things or do you go full throttle?
There's a couple things that teams don't know what we may or may not do. You know, I mean, just because of various things we've done throughout the year, I'll give you an example. Like Easton Humes, you know, we moved him over to the 400 and 200. We ran him in the one this last week. And then he's ran the 16. He's ran every distance other than hurdles on the track, and he's got results on the state board. So when it comes down to region, those schools are going to look at what he's doing, and they're going to be like, well, what are they going to use him in? And we'll look at it and say, okay, this is what gives us – we already know what we're going to use him in. But when when the coaches ask me from other schools, I'm not exactly I don't have to tell them what I'm doing. So I usually don't. But, you know, you look at Haley Prescott's another example of that. We ran her in the 400. She has a result that hit the 400 board out there. And so people are going to wonder, are we going to use her in four individuals? Are we going to use her in, you know, three in a relay? There's a lot of different combinations, and a lot of coaches have that happen. And so it's all about kind of matchups and stuff. You look at basketball, and you got matchups on the court of, you know, oh, they got a big center. We're going to need to play this particular center in there to deal with them. You know, or they're playing small ball. In track, it's, you know, you got these really good athletes like a Haley or an Emily or a Lindy or an Easton or a Will Carmichael, for that matter, that we can use them in a lot of different areas. Where we use them at the time just depends on the strategy that we're using for that particular meet.
Well, Coach, it is always great to get you on and get an update on how the kids are performing. We'll catch up again with you after the Delta meet and continue to progress towards region. Again, I appreciate the time.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks, Jordan, for having me on.
We are going to pause for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. A lot happening right now in the NBA. We'll dive into that. And we have reached the week of the NFL Draft. We got to touch on that as well. It's all coming up right here on Drive Time Sports.